Can you hear me?
Nick,
Yes, sir.
yeah. Can you hear me clear?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. We want to welcome everyone. We obviously don't know the name of the podcast yet. We'll just call it the People Press. We want to welcome everybody to the People's Press on this Sunday.
NBA. And what
it is the All-Star game today?
Yeah, it kind of sucks because Kobe died, so why pay attention?
Yeah. Definitely, he's going to be missed. It was a tragedy. You just never know what can happen in this world. So, shout out to Kobe Bryant's family, and definitely may he rest in peace. It's going to be definitely highly missed. I want to start out with a film that I saw Friday night, Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island?
Did you see it, Nick?
No, I would not see that.
Well, it's obviously based on the TV show from the 1970s. I actually, you know, the premise, it was a Blumhouse.
Crackle, because Crackle has Fantasy Island on it, I do believe, and you can actually watch it as opposed to a movie. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know, when I went into this thing, I saw the trailer, and my first initial thought was that, oh, man, you know, this might be pretty cool. And then you got Blumhouse as one of the production companies behind Get Out. And a bunch of other I call them indie majors.
They do
the budget. Yeah, go ahead. The budget of this film was $7 million, and it actually looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked pretty good. You could tell that they were on sound stages towards the end where I don't want to give away any spoilers for any listeners who had not seen it, but unfortunately, there was so many storylines that it became kind of hard to follow at some point. But yeah, Fantasy Island, I went and saw it. I would give it a B-. Nick doesn't have a score because she would not go see it.
No, it's true. I don't understand what it's supposed to be. Is it horror? Is it not horror? Fantasy Island was episodic, so how do you do that in an hour and some change? The audience rating on it is a 2.7, according to Google. It's not something, for what a ticket cost? I'm confused. I'm really confused. But they got your money, so bravo to them.
Yes, they not only got that. I spent $35 or $40 on popcorn and drinks.
Well, that part.
So, yeah, it's I don't know. It's the way of the movie night. I wanted to talk about breaking into writing. Whether you're an author or you're an aspiring author or you're a screenwriter or you're an aspiring screenwriter or you're a journalist or you're in college to get into journalism. I think that and I want to get your take on this, Nick. This is a great, great, great time for those that create. I mean, with the streaming, all opportunities with streaming, I mean, Netflix kind of grandfathered itself in, you know, people would have never thought when they had the DVD system where you would it, how did that go? Cause you know, I never used Netflix when it first kind of took off where people took a deep, what did they do? Ordered a DVD and then you could stick it in the mailbox.
Yeah, Blockbuster Online, same thing. You picked what you wanted, they mailed it to you. When you were done, you stuffed it back in and you sent the DVD back, like the red box. And then they had certain, if you had to put subscription, which somebody did, you download the app. And in the beginning, there were just certain films that you could download on their app and watch it through smart TVs in the beginning. And then they separated it where it was together with one subscription. Then they separated it and you had to pay separately for the download or the DVD sent at your house. That's how Netflix separated.
Right. Right. Well, they were able to do something ingenious, obviously parlay that into a streaming service. Yeah. And after that came along, well, some other ones came and kind of went, but you had Amazon and, you know, then, you know, you got Disney, you got some of the networks have streaming and, you know, it's kind of a wild, wild west, but, inevitably what's going on is if you're a creator, it's a great, great, great time. And I wanted to touch a little bit on those that, you know, may want to break into whichever aspect of writing that you want to break into. I think that where it all starts is it starts with you. There's really, you know, a lot of times when you are a writer, you look at, okay, what am I, if you're a real writer, now there's people that chase the outcome of writing, and there's people that are writers, and then there's aspiring writers. And at the end of the day, we're all just creators. But what I did want to touch on is it all starts with you. You have to get in there. You know, if you're going to write a book, and Nick, you can talk to, you know, any aspiring writers out there about, you know, writing a book. If you want to write a book, you just got to get your ass off your ass, right? And write.
Yeah, you do. But some people don't. And that's why it's somebody out there living your wildest dreams. So if you don't write the book, you don't write the book. It won't get wrote. And there's no reason to whine about that. And that's the one Kobe part of everything. You know, if you don't do it, then you already failed. You didn't do it.
Right. Right.
Some people type it. Some people, I know people who actually use symbols as words, because that symbol can make a complete sentence once they make it to their computer. So however you do it, you do it.
Right. And
me, a lot more books and ebooks, so to speak, are being produced because they're already finished works. So they don't have to honestly invest in a new writer. They can take the work, which is finished, and then give it to in-house to make the script of it. And a lot of that has happened. That was 50 Shades of Grey. That wasn't even an honest book. It was fan fiction. It was a woman who loved the characters of Twilight. And she wrote that. And that became 50 Shades of Grey. So because it was already a finished work, they just had to put it in a script form.
Right. Wow. I didn't know that.
It's up offline. You just have to put it out there. A lot of things are in-house. They still have script readers. People are still reading scripts. They're converting plays into live TV programs. That's interesting, but, you know, it works.
Right. Right. Because, you know, how I try to explain this era is pretty simple. We're in a repeat era of the early 1900s when Disney created, when all of these characters were created that they're now making these blockbuster films about, which was, and a lot of these characters were created 100 years ago, and some of them longer than that. You know, this, for anybody listening, this is a time to be, you know, you don't have to, because they can't keep making, you know, Batman Part 6 and Aquaman Part 7 and Deadpool Part 5. And, you know, at some point, new intellectual property is going to have to be tapped into. And that's where, you know, our creators can really, you know, can really shine. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think that You know, you have to, one thing you have to have is confidence. And what I like about, and what I like to touch upon as far as confidence is, if you want to, if you aspire to write a screenplay, for instance, you don't, it's not the same guy that has a pot belly and wants to go swimming and he doesn't feel he has the confidence to take his shirt off or something. When you when you're out there and meaning out there, you're in the world and you want to have a voice and you want your voice to say something on the page. All you got to do is pick up a pen, a pencil, a pen, and a pad, or like you were mentioning, open up a program, whether you're using a screenwriting program or Word or whatever you're doing, and get started. I just, you know, I like to try to inspire people to just do it because there's, you know, you can never get anywhere if you don't have anything to show anybody. So, you know, you gotta sit back, relax, wherever, you know, whether it's in your bedroom, Starbucks, where, you know, wherever you choose to create, you have to get out there and create.
Well, you know, I'm not an advice giver. I don't give advice, and I honestly really don't take advice. I'll listen, but that doesn't mean I'll take advice. I don't give advice. I tell people what I know, and that's it. What I know is I never wrote a screenplay because I had never seen a screenplay, but I had seen a play before. So all my scripts were written in play form. So I found a script and I read an actual script to understand the concept and the format of it. I do not give advice, but I do say if you don't submit to everything, submit to everyone, get it out there, even if it's something somebody might like it. But if I had never seen it, so I had to go and see it. And like on my LinkedIn page, there is a site that is giving away sci-fi movie scripts like the original Blade Runner. It makes sense if you've never wrote a script to see the format of it, how repetitive it is, how every 10 pages you are reminded as to why this person is doing what they're doing. That's the only thing. Find a script, read a script, format it, submit. That's all I got.
I hear you. My screenwriting journey began a long, long time ago. I don't even quite remember the first time I tried to write a script. I know it was in the wrong font, that's for sure. But it was, I mean, it was thought out. And I did use my voice right off the bat because being a former musician and writing music, I obviously had a way, you know, that I wanted my words to be heard. And I guess that's the important thing is the first thing you got to do again is just have the confidence to do it. If you got the confidence to do it, it can definitely be done. It the thing about now is there's so many ways that you can find out not only how to get your voice across or how to, because the way that the story is told is usually what's going to hook, because your first audience, I know as far as a screenplay, is the reader, whoever reads it, the executive, whoever the person is that you're going to send this thing to, or the person or persons that you're going to send it to. They're going to be your audience. And what a lot of times people are looking for is something that's hopping off the page that said, this person has a way with words. Who is this writer? This person is making me want to turn the page. So that's kind of a, you know, I guess at the end of the day, if you want to write, you're going to get out there and go for it. If you don't want to write, I guess you won't. I guess that's how it
Yeah,
is. And
not the advice. I don't know. I don't know. Everybody has different ways in. Some people know people. Some people are just awesome. Some people stumble upon. They don't. If you don't submit it, no one will ever see it. That's the only thing I got. Submit it, release it, let it go off into the universe, write something else, move on.
Piggybacking on that, what is your thought, Nick? Because a lot of aspiring And we try to, I think one thing we may want to try to do here is be, try to gear our thing towards aspiring writers and aspiring filmmakers and whatever you're aspiring to do, because we want this to be a place where all people can come to learn a variety of things. But what is your take, Nick, on, and this, I've heard this with demo tapes and music, and I've heard this in writing, where you hear you and when I what I'm about to say is not new, but you get an aspiring writer that goes, "Well, I don't want to let this executive see my script because they might steal it." Now, what is your take, and I'll give you mine on that way of thinking.
In the words of the great classic hip hop group Houdini, there's nothing new under the sun. What you doing now already been done. They're not going to steal it. It's not that new. Someone probably wrote it before. There's a whole what's happening situation. They did a whole episode of what's happening on this. It's not that new. They're not going to steal it. They don't need to steal it. They probably won't even read it. Submit it anyway. Submit it anyway. You won't even know if you don't submit it. So you can sit on it and speculate, but if you don't submit it, you will have nothing to speculate on. Just let it go. Just let it go. Release it.
Right.
I have no reason.
Yeah, I have the same take on that. I mean, I've talked to, it was a one guy who someone told him that, hey, I got someone that you might want to talk to that may be able to give you some, some good information. But anyway, they steered the guy my way. And when I talked to him, I told him, that I try to get around to reading the script. And one thing about me, if I'm writing, if I'm working on something, I usually don't like reading other material, because usually if I'm writing something, I'm in the mode of writing 24 hours a day. So it's hard for me to jump in and read a script and then put my mind back onto what I'm working on. If I'm doing a polish or something, it's a little easier.
Because it's already at 17:33. So how long is this going to be?
Oh, I don't know. We're just kind of testing, and then we're going to listen back to it and see, testing and then listen back to it and see, what feels, long or long. I know John August and Craig they'll do 45 minutes, and sometimes they'll do a little over an hour. Selling your screenplay, his are usually 40 minutes. Most of the, depending, most of the industry podcasts, they are, business is about 25 minutes. So we can go like 10 more minutes if you want to, and then cut it off. And then we listen to it. And then, we'll see, because, we didn't really grab a format we wanted to go after. We just kind of winging it just to see what our voices sound like and what we need to improve to do, So you want to do like 10, 6, 8, 9 more minutes and then cut it?
Sure.
My thing on what I told the guy is, I guess he had an executive that wanted to read upon his pitch. Or, well, I don't know if it was a phone pitch or what have you, but he had a meeting. Excuse me. He was able to get the executive to request to read it. And he told me, "Well, what do you think, man? You think they might steal it? It's a great idea." And I says, "Well, here's how that works." I said, "Man, only amateurs." I said, "I'm going to be straight with you. Only amateurs think about that." I said, "They can't steal your script. The way you wrote and executed the script can only be done by you. That's only by you." Now, do people jack concepts? Like, if your concept is a ghost that wears a fedora that steals cars,
right.
They may jack your concept. But you got to kind of get out there and not worry about that. Like Nick was just saying a few minutes ago, you got to get your work out there. You have to be as good of a marketer as you are a writer, especially nowadays, because there's millions of people out there with the pen and a pad that are doing that, this very thing called writing.
Yes, sir.
So you have to be a great marketer. Get your stuff out there, and you cannot be worried.
Release it, release it.
Right.
Release.
Exactly.
Let it go.
Exactly. Exactly.
It'll be fine. Trust in yourself. That's the hardest
right.
part for me. Yeah.
Right.
Your damn self. Can I cuss? That's bad. Whatever.
Yeah. Now, what is your thought, Nick, on the last thing I guess we can touch on here is let's say, and we all have dealt with this, Paul's movie. I know you say you don't remember Paul.
No.
But you met him before, but probably only once on the set. But his movie is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
April 10th, Cutthroat Island. And I had sent I sent the trailer to a few people, and I had one guy, he goes, "Oh man, you think he can get him to get me any funding?" And he doesn't know Paul at all, and I haven't seen Paul in forever. But this brings me to my next point. What is, I guess I'll just comment on it and then you give me your take. What I think everybody probably, I don't know if everybody knows this or not, or I guess everybody has their own observation of this. And so what I'm about to say, Nick, is let's say Jamie Foxx is a friend of yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's people who think that because Jamie Foxx is your friend, then you can automatically get work as an actor, or he can get your movie made. And what I've tried to tell people is it just doesn't work like that. Every project is its own individual thing. Now, there's times where if Jamie Foxx and you are friends and you're a writer, you've come up with a project, the project is good, you have legs with the project, meaning you have started attaching talent, you got a director, there's a greater chance for Jamie Foxx to say, "Okay, you know what? I want to get involved in this." But what I guess the point I'm making is there's people that think if I just had a friend in the industry, for those of us that have several friends in the industry, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, what that does is get you an opportunity when you're ready to take an opportunity. But I wanted to get your take on that, Nick, because for a lot of aspiring filmmakers and aspiring writers and what have you coming up, there's a lot more work that you have to do than just have a friend in the door. So many people have no friends in the door, and they come to the town, they come to Los Angeles, and they make it work because they're doing 24-hour grinding. As Nick said, they're not only getting their work out there, they're getting themselves out there. So I wanted to get your take on that, Nick, before we close for the day, on is it really who you know, or is it you? And I want to get your take on that.
Well, we have to look at this separately because you are writer, producer, I'm crew, I'm film crew. So in my aspect, it's absolutely who you know because you're crew. You start off non-union and you have to end up in the union. So you have to start off grinding, going to everything, meeting everyone because I'm crew. It's different for producers.
Ah.
What we help with, I can't help an actor do a dang on thing. I can help a sound person. I can help a stunt person. I can help a script supervisor, maybe catering, separate issues. When I am called, it's usually somebody from a crew that's calling me. If it's the line producer, not the producer who calls us. So in my aspect of filming, it's absolutely you get out there, you meet people, but you have to back up your work. You can't just talk and show up on the set and not know what you're doing. because now I know your name and I know you're full of BS and I'm never calling you again. So with us, you got to know your work. You got to know your people. That's the only way we get jobs.
Right. You know what? I actually never thought about it that way. You're absolutely right, because I know a lot of the places that have the incentives, whether it's Georgia, Canada, Ohio, New Mexico, a lot of the same, especially the key positions, a lot of the same people get hired, and a lot of other people don't really get a shot. You know, I know, I knew about that, but I didn't really think about it that way. You're absolutely right. For you to get a call, you have to almost know somebody in the crew when it comes to crew.
Yeah.
You do have to. Yeah. I didn't ever thought about that. That's good information.
And that's why you apply to everything. And that's why you go on set and you introduce yourself to people. Hello, I'm Nicole. What's your assignment? What's your position? You attach yourself to directors. You tell them you're going to do things. I will break down your next script. So now I'm attached to this script as the script supervisor. We're crew, totally different. I cannot help an actress. I can't get you an audition. Can't do it. I can help the camera person. Can't help the actress.
Ah. And with that, we're going to close for the day. That was a great, great, that was great information, because I never really thought about it that way. And that's why when you come to the People's Press, this is the place where you'll learn. You can find me, I'm going to call myself the Black Screenwriter, on Instagram at Scared of Police. And Nick, what are you going to call yourself?
I'm on Instagram at Nikki the Scripty. I'm there.
Perfect. Perfect. So we hope you guys enjoy this episode. We will do it again. And be easy, people.